you're a big man. Treat you like you're a little man.
Are you ready? No! I said, are you ready?
Holy shit. Let's do it. Come on. Here we go.
Then, for the thousands in attendance, for the millions watching around the world, let's get ready to suck it!
So it feels like forever since we've been back on the airwaves here. We took a week or two off, had other things come up, but I do apologize for phone quality. I'm currently calling from the car right now on the way home from Pennsylvania. And, you know, missing Raw, but that's okay. We're waiting on Dave to call in, Dustin working the board for the evening, and we got the icon here with us, talking a little Survivor Series, talking a little bit of, what the storylines possibly are going to be now, and if perhaps the biggest match of the night was a letdown, but also a re-energizing energy shot in a way, because the match last night between Brock Lesnar and Goldberg, which they teased us with for weeks, shoved down our throat for weeks, ended in a minute and 45 seconds. And that was not something that we really, you know, really expected or wanted. But I think it was energetic because, I mean, before we came on the air tonight, Icon and I were talking a little bit about possibly what that does for the WWE and how shocked everybody was about it. So again, we'll get Dave in when Dave gets here. Hopefully Dustin's able to check him in, and if not, we'll run the show with a two man wrecking crew here. So Icon, last night you watched Survivor Series, arguably one of the biggest pay per views of the year, and I would say one of the best in terms of quality of the year. I think this Survivor Series is actually even better than WrestleMania, which is hard to do. But again, it's one of the big four, so it's expected to be good. But you even said the look of shock on people's faces when that Lesnar match ended the way it did was almost second to none.
Well, I'll tell you what, the last time I saw a shock like that was when Brock Lesnar ended the Undertaker streak. Now, the thing about the big tease for they teased us on this for 6, 7, 8 weeks. Okay, now I remember. Now this is proving my age again. I understand this, but I remember back when I was a kid when we used to have wrestling here at the Fargo Civic Center. They used to, when I was a kid, tease these big matches, big matches, you know, between the Butcher Bishan and Mad Dog and Larry the Axe Henning and all these guys. And they would tease this stuff for weeks just to get us to the arena. And the match would last a minute and a half. And fans would leave pissed off. But unlike then, fans actually were excited to see Goldberg beat Brock Lesnar in this shorter time. It reminds me of the first match that Goldberg ever had. He'd hit you. He'd hit you again, he'd jackhammer you, he'd spit, he'd snort, then he'd be back in the locker room 2 minutes after the bell rang. That's the way they used to do it to get Goldberg's streak up. And they're continuing that.
What did he go, 190-0 or something crazy like that?
Something like that, yes.
And he made arguably the number one wrecking ball, the biggest force in the business, Brock Lesnar, look like a jobber. I mean, essentially, that's what he was. And, you know, in a way, Brock Lesnar, it shows a little bit about the character of Brock Lesnar, because a lot of guys, Shawn Michaels, Hulk Hogan, Bret Hart, you know, got Stone Cold. Stone Cold walked out twice because he didn't want to job to somebody. In fact, one of them was Lesnar. A lot of refused to sacrifice themselves and their reputation for the better of the company. Brock Lesnar obviously decided this was what was best for business, because obviously if Brock Lesnar says, no, I'm not doing that, they got to rewrite the whole script. So, you know, Lesnar decides, okay, Goldberg is going to come out. We already know who the winner is. Goldberg's going to win the match. But instead of a long, arduous 20-minute match, why not have two spears and a jackhammer? And I think the reason why this match was successful was because of the way that they teased it. Had they built this up and nothing really climatic happened before the match, people would have been like, what the hell? This is the worst match in the history of matches. But because the previous Monday night, when Brock Lesnar started talking about Goldberg's family, and Goldberg said, if you do it again, you know, I'm going to rip it, you know, his head off and beat it to you, kind of a thing. And then he did it again. And then Goldberg attacked Lesnar, he attacked Heyman, he attacked all the security crew, threw them out of the ring, did the whole thing. It got personal, it got emotional, you felt it, and you had that Goldberg riding high momentum. Had they just been trading promos back and forth and nothing actually, you know, happens the way that it did, then I think that this match would have been very anticlimactic and a lot of people would have been very upset. But I think that they played it perfectly. But now my question is, you see, everybody said, oh, one more match. Goldberg's got one more match. Well, that match we just found out is going to be the Royal Rumble. And that match is going to be, it's going to be Brock Lesnar in the Rumble. Goldberg in the Rumble. Does that mean that Goldberg is going to win this damn thing?
Well, here's how the storyline is going to go. And The WWE writer that's listening right now, you might as well pencil it in, because I know you're going to follow this to a T. Here is what is going to happen. Brock Lesnar in the next couple months is going to be winning the WWE title. He'll win it maybe a month, month and a half, 2 months before WrestleMania. Goldberg is going to win the Royal Rumble, which will give him the title shot at WrestleMania, which will set up Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg 3, and this will be the time that Brock Lesnar will defeat Goldberg for the first time. And then it will be 2-1.
Okay, so it'll be one of those things where, you know, like we had three matches with The Undertaker. Now we'll have three matches with Goldberg. Of course, you know, the last one was 12 years ago before last night. But we'll have those matches. And then what? I mean, and then Goldberg just rides off into the sunset like Peyton Manning? Well, how are they possibly going to spin that?
well, the deal is, Goldberg, I mean, he's gonna stick around until WrestleMania after that. I mean, look, Goldberg is still a great wrestler. He's still a big guy. You know, I still like him as a wrestler, but he's one of these guys that is not going to hang on until until his hair falls out, because he's got no hair, but he's not going to be like Ric Flair or Hulk Hogan. He knows that his time is up, and he just wants to have one last run so he can be a superhero for his son, just like he said he was going to be.
Hey, all right. Hey, Chris, can you hear me?
Yeah,
we got you,
Double
dude.
D, that all right. Is here.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm fashionably late.
Double D, my favorite cup size. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So listening. I couldn't get in right away for some reason, but I was listening.
That's all right.
And I think you worded it perfectly, that it was frustrating for to watch, like, with all the hype, but that was the first oh bleep moment in wrestling in a long time. Like, I was just stuck. I didn't know what to, I couldn't believe that that's what I watched happen. And as far as the element goes of surprise, that was not what I expected at all. And I guess in a way they won, like they got me, because I did not see that coming. And I like, no way. And I like Icon's idea about Goldberg winning the championship, but then I'm confused then what happens after that. Like, is Goldberg going to be on a long title run after that? He only wrestled four times in a year.
No, it's Lesnar winning the title. Lesnar winning the title. Goldberg winning the Royal Rumble, facing Lesnar at WrestleMania. Lesnar then beats Goldberg, and then Lesnar, you know, stays as champion,
so then,
and Goldberg either rides off in the sunset or does something. I don't know. But yeah.
Lesnar will only wrestle at, like, the four major events, basically. And if he's going to be your champion, he's not going to be a full-timer.
Then he'll lose it shortly afterwards.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the guys that should be holding the title back at that time, like Finn Balor, you know, they're just basically, you know,
buying time
till these guys come back. Now, the thing is, we all know how I feel about the Winnipeg POS and his buddy, Kevin Owens. We all know how I feel about those guys. But Kevin Owens needs to lose his damn title. And it would kind of make more sense if he gets beat by someone like Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though, and I still don't think everybody's going to like the fact that he gets beat, but it's not going to turn Brock Lesnar into a fan favorite. Not by any means.
Yeah. They had a great spot today, that the Canadian DX. The highlight reel was awesome on Raw today.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Dave, just to update you, I had some work to do in Pennsylvania, so I'm actually driving home. I'm about 20 minutes from home, so I'll probably catch the end of Raw. But I missed most of it. But again, Raw hasn't really exactly been, you know, worthy of watching lately. But I heard. I'm getting the updates on Bleacher Report that Raw's been okay tonight.
It's on fire tonight. It's good.
Well, I'll tell you what. It started out. Raw tonight has been awesome. It started out with, you know, Goldberg coming out, announcing he was going to be part of the Royal Rumble. Then we, you know, and this is not exactly something that I care to see, but we actually had nudity on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, yeah. It was awesome.
Enzo was nude. He got locked out of the locker room by Big Cass. He walks down the hallway. He runs into Lana, who's checking out his package, okay? And then here comes Rusev. He, you know, covers Lana's eyes so she didn't have to see that. There's a little sexual innuendo conversation between the two. And apparently that's supposed to be teasing a match that's coming up here in a little while.
Now, do you guys remember back in the day after the Ministry of Darkness? This was like early 2001 in some change. I don't know if that's in your wheelhouse, Dave, or not, but remember when Midian used to run around naked?
Yes.
Yeah, I caught that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they never used to blur his private parts out.
He wore a fanny pack.
Yeah, but this time they actually blurred out Enzo's.
Well, they had to, because he was fully naked. There was no fanny pack to cover his junk, so they had to
blur
it out.
It was awesome. So far, this whole Raw feels like as close to 1999, 1998 as it's been in a long time. Like you said, the nudity was all, like, not obviously Enzo naked doesn't do anything for me, but just the idea is awesome. The match that's going to be coming up for the finale, or the main event, is going to be Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins for the title, no disqualification. But Roman Reigns and Jericho are both banned from outside the ring, so they're banned from ringside. So that's going to be an awesome match. They opened up with the tag team title match, and they're going to close with the heavyweight or the Universal Championship match. That's good booking, man.
When's the last time Raw had booking like this?
Yeah, really.
It seems like it's been years.
It really does.
You know what it is?
Go ahead.
Well, I would say, you know what it is? I was saying a little bit beforehand, just before Dave jumped on with us, that, yeah, the match last night was frustrating. And when they introduced, you know, Brock Lesnar at 10:52, I knew something was going to happen. They weren't going to have a big, long, crazy 20-minute match like I thought they were going to have. But I think last night was sort of the kick in the ass that they needed because, yeah, not only did it shock people, but I sort of think that WWE and Raw in particular has sort of been laying in wait a little bit. They've sort of been that crocodile that's got its eyes just above the water, and they've been waiting. They've been waiting for the right opportunity, and now they have Goldberg, they have the energy, they have the big shocker match, and now all of a sudden they can turn it back on again because for a while they had no direction. They had nowhere to go. Now they finally have something to go because it's the way that wrestling works, it all runs through your main event superstars. And for a while, they didn't have any main event worthy superstars. Now they do. And yeah, I realize Goldberg's pushing 50, but they have main event superstars now. And, you know, between this whole thing with Lesnar and them and now Owens, and then, you know, it's only a matter of time before Finn Balor's back, now I think they can start booking. For a while, they were sort of a product of injury. They couldn't book well because they didn't have talent on the team. It's, you know, that's almost like, it's almost like the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, they compete, but they don't win anything. And it's the same thing with Raw. Yeah, they can sort of compete. They can come out there and just kind of play the game, but never really actually end up winning. So, I mean, overall, if you look at the talent on the roster, I think the reason why SmackDown has been winning was because SmackDown had superstar guys for their show, okay? But I think Raw has the better talent roster in terms of big names. And now that Raw finally has some of those guys activated and back again, you know, the flagship can become the flagship again, which is a beautiful thing because it was really depressing that Monday Night Raw was so shitty for so long. But, you know, I don't really like the idea of giving Lesnar the belt and having Goldberg. I mean, the sheer fact that Goldberg is in the Rumble, it leads me to believe two things. One, either they're going to go the boring route and have Goldberg win it, which is predictable from a mile away.
Yeah.
Or they're going to hit us with another shocker. They're going to hit us with another shocker, and Goldberg's going to get eliminated or something. So I mean, you never know. You really never know, but yeah.
Here's
and
the first
on
entry
on the
too. So
this with the Royal Rumble, Goldberg is going to get a high number.
He got one. He's entry number one.
Is he?
Yeah, yeah. That's what they said. Cole said that today on Raw, that he's going to be number one.
Okay, now I must have missed that. Now the thing is, if he's going to be number one, and everybody knows how long the Royal Rumble goes. You know, new wrestler every minute now, so it's going to be at least 60 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I think Goldberg's going to get, you know, they're going to throw the weaker talent at him, and then he'll eliminate most of them. And then, you know, you're going to see a big, big preview, a big shock for number 30, like, say, John Cena or Roman Reigns or something like that.
What
now,
about Brock Lesnar?
Or Lesnar, but you think they're going to do something shitty, like, for instance, here's what I would think would be the most chaotic way to go, but then when I think about the match scenario that it sets up, kind of gay. And what it is that Lesnar comes out, Goldberg comes out, dominates the Rumble at number one, guys over left and right, survives the whole thing, comes to number 30. They have a guy like a Seth Rollins or a Kevin Owens or whoever come in, and it's getting you to the end, and Goldberg is looking like he's getting the upper hand. I think they'll have Brock Lesnar come out, distract Goldberg, or have Paul Heyman distract the ref, attack Goldberg. Brock Lesnar will then account for Goldberg getting eliminated, therefore taking Goldberg out of the contention, because at that point, I think Lesnar's going to have the title or be in contention for it. Then, going to face Lesnar, Goldberg's going to say, hey, you know, you screwed me, and they're going to make a freaking triple threat match for the title.
Well,
yeah,
one way or another.
I think.
Hey, guys, don't quote me on that number one entry thing. I could have sworn I heard Cole say it earlier, but I can't find it anywhere online. So that might not be
true. One way or another, it's going to end up with Brock Lesnar and Goldberg fighting again at WrestleMania. I mean, it's a given. Now, I just want to go back to the pay-per-view last night. Now, I'll tell you what. With the shocking end, everything about the pay-per-view was awesome, except for the Cruiserweight Championship. I don't care about it. I think it's a waste of time. It's a waste of television time. They can drop it at any time, which is why I'm glad SmackDown didn't win it, because I don't want them ruining SmackDown with the Cruiserweight. Okay? That's one thing. The other most awesome holy crap moment of Raw or of SmackDown, of Survivor Series last night was Shane McMahon taking that spear from Roman Reigns. He jumped off the top rope. I'll tell you what, Shane McMahon's head bounced off of that mat and he was knocked out.
Cold.
The lights were on.
Yeah.
Barely, and there was nobody home. That just goes to show you what kind of a fighter and wrestler Shane McMahon is.
Did you see Randy Orton went and talked to his kids?
Oh, yeah.
After that?
I'll
yeah,
tell you what,
awesome.
That was major class Randy Orton, you know?
Well, let me ask you this, then. The stipulation last night was the winning brand gets two superstars from the losing brand. Who's going to go over to SmackDown from Raw?
See, I know we've been saying that, and I feel like I know that to be true, but did they ever announce that on TV that was the deal?
I think they did.
Oh, okay.
No,
all right. Yeah,
they?
I didn't see it, but I could have missed it. That could be on me.
Well, the deal is, I'm thinking that if that's what's going to happen, they'll announce it on SmackDown tomorrow. You know, it just makes sense that Dean Ambrose goes back to Raw. I mean, it just makes sense because of the reaction that the Shield got last night when they were together, which is going to cause this double heel turn that I've been talking about between Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles. There's going to be a double turn. AJ Styles is going to become the good guy. Dean Ambrose is going to become the bad guy.
That'd be cool. I think the other one that's going to go is Miz, because they want that Intercontinental title on Raw since they've given up the Cruiserweights.
Yeah.
Now, how about the women's 5-on-5 match?
Oh, that was awesome.
That was pretty good. Yeah, it was good.
But, after Bayley winning last night and then the princess turning on her, you know, and they're supposed to be teammates, and, of course, she kind of got revenge just a little bit ago, the women's two-on-two match was awesome. But what's saving Raw right now is what the main event is going to be.
What exactly is that going to be?
It's Owens versus Rollins for the Universal title. No disqualification match.
No holds barred.
No holds barred. But Jericho and Reigns are banned from ringside.
But you know what that means? We are going to see Jericho, the Winnipeg POS, and Roman Reigns come down. We are going to see them.
Yeah, I think what they're going to do is they're going to take the fight into the back room,
Yeah.
And then that way they didn't come to ringside technically, but.
And right now, they're pitching. I know it's a commercial break, but right now they're pitching The Rock's new cartoon. He's the voice of the main character, what is it, Molina or whatever the hell it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a cartoon guy, but because The Rock is one of the characters, I might actually have to go see it.
Yeah, I'd give
it
a
shot. Do you like Camp WWE?
I do not.
No, okay. See, a lot
I watched.
Of
yeah, I watched a few episodes.
Like,
it's pretty funny.
I do like that True Stories they had last night after Survivor Series. Now that was good. When they have WWE superstars talk about their experience on the road and they're voicing it and it's a cartoon.
Oh right, yeah, I haven't watched that yet. That's good. That's a good show.
It was awesome. You know?
I gotta check that out.
I mean, I can't stand Camp WWE, but you know, like watch Jake the Snake Roberts and all this. I mean, that was awesome.
That's cool.
Did you guys like that Legends of Wrestling thing that came out that where they have Pat Patterson and stuff like that? They had some of those guys talking about like their experiences and stuff like you know.
Yeah,
you
that was really
that,
that was really cool. They get a lot of
that.
Behind
that was awesome.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I've always had a lot of respect for Pat Patterson, even when they made him a stooge, you know. I thought that was minimizing Pat Patterson's in wrestling career, but what the hell, everybody's got to kiss McMahon's ass every now and then, you know.
True. I don't know if this Royal Rumble though, guys. I don't know if this Royal Rumble's going to have the firepower. And I don't think this Royal Rumble is going to be as good as the Royal Rumble in 2010 when Edge came back from a 14-month injury and Edge comes back and wins the Rumble. I mean, you want to talk about a pop. I mean, Jesus. I really, honestly, I don't think Stone Cold's ever gotten a pop that big.
AJ got a better pop than that last year.
Now, you cannot tell me that you did not watch SmackDown last week. You probably called
and
stick to work to watch it.
I did. I watched SmackDown. I didn't have to work last week.
Oh, well, you would have called in sick if you had to work.
Well, no. See, it's 2016. We have this little invention now called DVR. So I would have seen it anyway. But yeah, no. I made sure that was circled on my calendar for sure.
Jeez, and how did I know that?
I'm just waiting.
You know,
ahead.
I'll tell you what. I don't know what's more predictable, Monday Night Raw or you drooling over the fact that Edge is going to be on television.
I can't even jump on this bandwagon right now and make fun of Chris for this because I'm marking out over the fact that Shawn Michaels is probably going to be at Royal Rumble. I'm like losing my lid, man. I cannot wait for that event.
Well, when they came out of WrestleMania, you see, Shawn Michaels, here's the thing, Stone Cold looked old. He looked slow. That was probably, yeah. That was almost like watching, like let's say you recorded WrestleMania, right? And you put it and you rewound it in slow motion and you watched the stunner that he gave us. That was like live action slow motion when he did
that,
right? So that's what that was. So hang on a second, guys. I'm getting, I got to step off for a second. Hold on.
Chris is getting pulled over right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's gonna.
Hang on a second, guys. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. We can take it. He's gonna tell the cop that he's gonna get home and watch.
He's got wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got watch. He's got wrestling to watch. He's gonna get the hell out of there. That's funny. Oh man.
But I'll tell you what though. The cruiserweights, they brought the title back because they need another title. But you know, the thing is. The cruiserweights are not what the cruiserweights were in WCW.
That's very
true. I mean,
true.
Right now on Raw, there's a cruiserweight title or cruiserweights match going on right now. I don't even care about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to love the cruiserweights because they were all these kick-ass matches. It would actually keep me from flipping over to Raw. You know. Everybody knows I used to watch WCW for the full 3 hours, and I would tape Raw because it was taped anyway. It wasn't live. And then I would stay up till 1, 2 in the morning watching it because that's what I used to do on Monday nights. I didn't care if I was going to get grounded for not going to bed, but,
right,
you know,
yeah.
Christ, you know, it's like, you know, right now the Cruiserweight Championship is insulting our intelligence.
Yeah, there's only like two or three Cruiserweight wrestlers that I like. Like, I like TJ Perkins. I think he's fun to watch.
Oh yeah, he's an awesome wrestler.
And even,
you know?
Kendrick, I'm a little like iffy on, but I don't know. Like, he's a good heel, I guess, for the Cruiserweight thing. I don't know. Like, it's like you said, the whole, to have a whole division and make it out to be like it's like they're gonna have their own show and everything. I don't think they have enough talent to do
WWE 205.
Yeah, 205 Live or whatever. Yeah, and
but it's only gonna be on the WWE Network, so that means people aren't gonna watch it.
Right. That's true. Yeah, that's true.
You know,
and they just don't.
I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna lose any sleep if I miss it. I may check it out. You know, I will check it out for the first show just to see, you know, what the hell they're going to do. But it's going to take a lot to, you know, rival, you know.
Right.
Either of the top shows, you know.
See, and that's, I heard that the writers of Talking Smack, they wanted more control of the promos that were cut on the show. So that's why they are going to put 205 Live in between. And then that way they'll be able to write and scramble after the show and get some scripted promos after, which I think is the worst thing. Talking Smack is so good because it seems so genuine and organic, and it seems so real and natural, and it doesn't feel forced at all. It sounds like it is right now, but I think once they start, you know, typing up a script and everything, I just think it's going to ruin that show too. Talking Smack to me is a cool post game kind of thing to check into. I don't watch it religiously. Like, I don't dive right into it, but you know, it'll show up on Facebook or YouTube or whatever the next day, and I'll check out the highlights from it. And it's interesting. Like, it's exciting. Even Kevin Owens and Jericho, when they took over Talking Raw a couple weeks ago, it was awesome. It was like really cool. It just felt so real, and like everyone was laughing. They just had a good time. It seemed so genuine. And now it's just like they're gonna screw it up.
You know, you mentioned, you know, that you'll see the stuff on YouTube or Facebook, which is why today on Facebook all I saw was here's the full match of Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg, because it was only a minute 45 seconds.
Right, yeah. No kidding.
You know, and I mean, look, there's no denying the fact that, you know, Goldberg's shoulder was tweaked a little bit, and it was up, you know.
Yeah.
Which is another reason why I think that they, you know, and I'm actually guilty of this. I actually forgot that was the main event last night. Because after Raw versus SmackDown, the 5-on-5, I was so blown away with that match, I actually forgot that Goldberg and, you know, I actually had to go back and log back in to my my account on the WWE Network because I forgot about that match. You know, and it was only a minute 45. I was able to catch the whole thing, but I had forgot about it. You know, that's how blown away I was by how good the pay-per-view was, because I forgot what the...
Yeah, that's like I was watching. I was a couple, like an hour or so behind.
Gentlemen.
And I was watching it right in the middle of the show, and my buddy calls me and says, "Have you watched the end?" And I'm like, "No, not yet. I'm not there yet." He says, Fast forward to the main event, please, and call me. He's like, my mouth has been open, and I've just been saying, what the F, like, nonstop. I'm like, man, what the hell could have happened? So then I fast forward, I get to the main event, and I call him literally, like, 2 minutes later, and I'm like, what the hell is that? And he's like, I don't know. What was the point of building Brock Lesnar up, like, to this whole thing or whatever? He's like, I don't get it. Why did he beat the Undertaker streak? Why him? And now for him to get buried, like absolutely buried like that. And like you said, I know it has to do with the injury, and I'm sure if he was healthier, I don't think that was the original plan, but it still just feels like, what happened?
The look of pure shock on people's faces was just...
It was perfect. It was so good.
Yeah. But, you know, I'll tell you what, there's one thing I noticed they started doing last night that does kind of piss me off, though. During a match, something will be happening, then all of a sudden they'll cut away to showing two fans in the stands. They started doing that last night, and it pisses me off because there's stuff in the ring. I don't care what the fans – show me the fans' reactions afterwards, not during the damn match, you know?
Right, right. That was – yeah, they're trying to do that. They do that a lot in, like, real sports, you know, where they'll show the fans' reactions or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, I want to – I'm trying to watch the action here. I don't really care about what the fans think. I mean – occasionally, you get the good moment.
You don't care about the fans? What are you, WCW?
Come on, man. I don't care about the fans.
Hey, by the way, Chris is joining us again. He had to make sure.
He's sitting. He's still behind me. It's just he's checking my license and doing the whole thing. So while I have a minute.
Oh, man.
So if I end up saying, "Hey guys, I gotta go," I gotta go. It's because I'm getting arrested. So I'll talk to you later. I'm kidding.
Well, just tell him you gotta get home and watch Edge.
Right. Does anyone have the money to bail him out if need be tonight? We can someone save him.
Well, geez, you know, I hope that nothing bad happens, Chris. But you know, geez, have you ever heard of Bluetooth?
Yeah, right. Really, you know.
In my car, I have OnStar. Yeah, I know they're not a sponsor of the show, but I have OnStar. I have Bluetooth. I can talk to people through my mirror, you know?
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, that's good.
Come on, Chris, you're an Edge fan. You should have this shit, you know?
He was saying, you know, 2016, he's got a DVR. He was good to go. The guy's still talking on his handheld, you know? Like.
Yeah, right. I'm sure.
That's funny. All right. Well, I'm sure Chris is—he's going to be all right. He seems like a law-abiding citizen.
Well, I'll
tell
you what.
So
it's like with me. You know, on my license plate, believe it or not, I have my name on my license plate, the icon.
Oh, that's
okay?
That's awesome.
Cops will not ever pull me over or give me a ticket because they know how bad it would be if they messed with the icon.
With the icon, yeah. Right. I believe it.
Yep.
So what do you think of – you really liked the pay-per-view last night?
I did. I would not – I will not go as far as saying it was the best SmackDown – or Jesus. It was not the best Survivor Series of all time. That was not – I'm not going to say that. But – and I will say, yes, the end was shocking, but it still, the most shocking end to any Survivor Series will still go to 97 with Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But the shock value was there, but it was the most shocking Survivor Series ending of all time? No. Was it what I wanted to see? Yes, because Brock Lesnar, he's an ex Minnesota Golden Gopher. Anytime
gentlemen,
gets beat, I'm a fan of it.
Gentlemen, I'm going to ask you something. Am I driving away all set and good, or am I in the middle of an O.J. Simpson high-speed pursuit right now? Which one is it?
Yeah, I'm going to say I think you just said fuck it and booked it. I said,
you know what? Fuck you, cop. I did my best recent.
Give him your best icon impression.
You ever seen the movie Let's Be Cops?
No, I have not.
No, it's a funny
movie. You know,
because let's just bail.
The cops won't mess with the icon because as soon as they see the icon license plate, they know not to, you know, to pull him over. They know not to give him a ticket.
Hey, you gotta get Mick Swiggins on your license plate, man. You'll be good.
Well, no, the big swing.
I do. Actually, you're right.
Do you? Oh, yeah, okay.
Because his nickname is the Big Swing. You're the Hammer, and, you know,
right.
we all know that, you know.
That's good. I like it.
Of course, there is only one icon, unfortunately. You know?
Chris, did you like Survivor Series? Like, how'd you feel as a whole, the whole pay-per-view?
Did I like Survivor Series?
Whole pay-per-view. Yeah.
I was saying that out of the big four this year, between all of them, I think that this was the best of the big four so far. I mean, I think everybody was let down a little bit by WrestleMania. I think everybody was sort of you know, the Rumble back then, you know, they had lost a lot of talent that wasn't really in the position. And then, like Dustin said so elegantly on here, that that the WrestleMania was kind of blue balls in a way. It really just didn't work for anybody. SummerSlam was okay. So then this was the next big one, and I think out of the big four, this was the best of them. And I'm just hoping that they can carry this momentum over into the Royal Rumble, because as you know, the Royal Rumble obviously is a big one too. So,
because if they don't, it's gonna let us down.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, they have a lot of people grabbed again. So.
Raw or SmackDown? Well, SmackDown has been catering more to the fans than Raw has, because if you know when Raw starts becoming more fan friendly, okay, which would mean that you get rid of Kevin Owens as the champion. Hopefully, that happens tonight. Now, the thing is, Raw is starting to turn themselves around, and it happened at the pay-per-view last night. And they need to build on this momentum by having a shock moment at the end here. And I think a title change would be that shock value that they need to start overtaking SmackDown. But the way that SmackDown won the Survivor Series match last night still shows that I think SmackDown has the upper hand in the ratings portion. And correct me if I'm wrong, with the way that Shane McMahon took that spear last night, you know, jumping off the ropes and taking that spear and getting his ass knocked out, still shows that SmackDown has better talent than Raw does.
But tell me that jumping spear wasn't something like I think when Dave said it was as close to 99 as you're going to see, that kind of action, that kind of moment that makes you go, holy shit, what just happened, was something that, you know, I think, you know, we haven't seen. I think the matches in general, I'm not necessarily saying that the talent level is bad right now, because, in fact, from an athletic standpoint, this might be the most loaded roster they've ever had in terms of total athletes. Because remember, back in the Attitude Era, the reason why we loved it was because they had to rely on violence and gimmicks, because the athletic talent wasn't nearly where it needed to be. So they had a lot of these guys doing gimmick things and hitting them with chairs and stuff like that. Now the athletic talent and the sheer athletes that they have is a beautiful thing. They've just been booked improperly, and the matches have been very, very vanilla. And the matches have been boring, quite frankly. Now that you get a match like that, where you get Shane jumping off the top rope and into the Roman main spear, I mean, that is something that you would see, you know, back in the day type of thing. That makes you just go, holy shit. Except back in the day, he would have went through a table as well. You know,
right.
It would have been like, he would have, you know, they would have had a table set up or something, and it would have been different. But, you know, it's still all the same stuff. Now, all I'm waiting to see now is, you know, the pay-per-view Extreme Rules. Are they actually going to have Extreme Rules? Are they actually going to have, balls count anywhere as matches and weapons and things like that, which I don't think that they're in a position to do at this moment.
Well, the next pay-per-view is in 2 weeks, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. TLC is the next pay-per-view in 2 weeks. Now,
but is that a SmackDown-only pay-per-view?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, all right.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, what? And then I'll make this point, then I'll make my next point.
Okay.
Now, what do you expect to see during a Tables, Ladders, and Chairs matchup?
Someone gets thrown off a ladder through a table.
Now, do you not expect to see brutality? Do you not expect to see blood during a TLC
match? Actually, nowadays, no, I don't expect to see any of that, unfortunately. I mean, you know, these three Hell in a Cell matches, yeah, it was a cool idea to book Hell in a Cell, but it, you know, but it just, they were the most bland, vanilla Hell in a Cell matches I've ever seen. Now, of course, the three of us, being the age that we are, have sort of been, we've been spoiled by some of the best Hell in a Cell matches of all time. We were spoiled by the Elimination Chamber. We were spoiled by some of the most violent and intense and brutal matches of all time. You know, this Hell in a Cell match, from an athletic standpoint, yeah, great, beautiful, I love it. But that defeats the purpose of Hell in a Cell. So, you know, and the last Extreme Rules pay-per-view, I don't even think there was blood at it, which really doesn't make sense. So I'll be pleasantly surprised if somebody goes through a table. I'll be pleasantly surprised if there's a chair shot, albeit it has to be to the back because, you know, God forbid somebody gets a concussion anymore. So, you know, it has to be, it's going to be bland and vanilla anyway. And, you know, you're not going to see, like you guys remember, I believe it was King of the Ring, actually. You guys remember when Kurt Angle slammed Shane McMahon through the glass thing, like up near the stage? I mean, that was. That was insane. Or the WrestleMania where my man crush Edge speared Mick Foley to the flaming table. Okay, you're not going to see that kind of stuff anymore. You might see him go through a table, but it's going to be very vanilla. You're going to see somebody maybe jump off a ladder or maybe use the ladder, but you're not going to see Jeff Hardy jump off the ladder through a table like you've seen in the past many times before.
Yeah, but it's just, but last year,
it's
wasn't
just
it
not what they want?
Last year, was it Money in the Bank or Table, Ladders, Chairs where they Kalisto did his move through the ladder?
Yeah, right.
That was a killer spot.
That was only a year ago.
And Kevin Owens' double table spot during the Hell in a Cell was awesome too.
Yeah.
Like they still do but, it. It's just it's like it's so few and far between. I know what you mean. I'm not trying to play devil's advocate here.
Well,
just,
I guess it makes it a novelty now or something. You know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's like one moment a year, basically.
But you know, I'll tell you what though. You got to give credit where credit is due though. To me, well, it may be Chris too. The most. Holy crap! Holy shit! Well, we're on the fucking internet. I can say whatever the hell I want.
We are a PG-13 show. You can say whatever the hell you want. That's the beauty of the internet. There's no fucking FCC. I mean, I can say fuck, shit, damn, bitch, cunt, balls, asshole, cocksucker if I want to. I don't, but I can.
Actually, the seven dirty words are cocksucker, motherfucker, fuck shit, cock, dumb, and pussy. Those are the seven dirty words that you can't say on the radio.
To George Carlin. Well, I know. Trust me, dude. I work in FM radio. I am restricted by these FCC pricks every goddamn day of my life, and it sucks. So I know. But yeah, so continue. Continue your point.
But anyway, you have to give credit where credit is due. The holy shit moment of any tables, ladders, and chairs was Edge spearing Hardy off of the ladder.
Now
that was the best moment ever. Now let me make my point. Right now, this is a no holds barred match. Right now, Seth Rollins is pulling out a table so that he can put the Winnipeg POS through it. Which has got to happen because he pulled it out. They can't just bluff this. Now, the other thing I want to talk about, now, of course, Orange just threw the table out of the ring because he's a chicken shit, and he won't ever go through that fat fuck. But anyway, now, they announced a double main event on Raw for next week. It's going to be for the title. Charlotte is going to put the title on the line next week. Now, I have six sense about this kind of stuff that Charlotte is going to lose the title again next week.
She will.
Because they are trying to get Charlotte up to as many title defenses as her daddy.
Right.
Charlotte lost the belt next week.
No, she has to defend it next week against Sasha.
And
he's saying that she will lose it.
She has to lose the belt next week.
Okay, lose it next week. Okay. I can see
and
it.
Then she'll win it at the next
it.
Raw pay-per-view. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it, which is really kind of, I mean, yeah, it's cool and everything, and it's all honky-dory, but like I've said several times now in the past couple of weeks, Ric Flair did what he did over 30 years or more. I mean, they're trying to get her up to 16, and, like, she's only been in the business, well, she's been in the business a while, but she's only been in the main roster of Raw for, like, a year and a half. So, I mean, you know, really, they're actually, I think, hurting her by trying to help her doing this.
That's true. Yeah, because she's going to be, whatever, you know, 16-time champion, but 17-time championship loser, because she's got to lose it one more time. You know what I mean? So it's just like, no one looks at the L's when it comes to that stuff. And like you said, I
no,
mean, it, you could do that with Ric Flair.
Ric Flair,
wait, over
well, yeah, think
years,
about it, because to be the champion 16 times, you have to lose it 15 at least, you know?
Right,
so,
yeah.
So that's why he is, you know, and same thing with Triple H. Although, the thing about Triple H was, you know, I know you weren't really watching it in 04, Dave, but when Triple H was awarded the World Heavyweight Championship in 2002 by Eric Bischoff, he held it almost 2 years. And then finally, Chris Benoit knocked him. Well, Shawn Michaels, and then he won it back for Michaels, and then Chris Benoit knocked him off. And then Benoit, you know, held the belt and then went off and killed his whole family. So, you know, that's a different story. That's for another time.
It's just a wild series of events for Chris Benoit.
Yeah, it was just, it's just crazy. But I think that, you know, these stories, what I like about what they're doing now, and they've been doing this, is the way that they're building stories. Because back in the Attitude Era, they used to build things for months at a time before it finally came to a head. So that when you were watching that pay-per-view and the final climax, final chapter of that rivalry or that story, you were like on the edge of your seat, like, what the hell is going to happen? And they would have, you know, heels win constantly. I mean, heels, like Triple H held the belt for 2 years as a heel. You know, nowadays, to me, it just seems like the faces constantly win. Bayley constantly wins. Sasha constantly wins. It's just like you can't have a face get beat anymore. And I don't know if that has to do with, you know, that they're geared towards kids and they don't want to show kids that bullies are successful. I don't know. But, you know, back in the day, I mean, yeah, Stone Cold was, he was sort of the anti-face. I mean, he was sort of, he was a face, but he was also kind of a heel that was over. Yeah, it was different. But, you know, but like The Rock, for instance, The Rock, you know, people's champion, the whole thing. But The Rock was a heel for a long time before that. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, it is what it is. But the thing I was going to mention, though, when you talk about they don't do it much anymore, Dave, is the thing that gave me chills and the thing that gave me literally, besides Edge coming back, of course, that gave me an instant chubby was, I think this was, what, two years ago, I believe? Maybe it was sooner than that. I remember it was summertime, but I don't remember what summer it was. Back when the Authority was still in power, and Dean Ambrose was rebelling against the Authority, and it was Seth Rollins curb stomp onto the cinder block. And now, of course, those cinder blocks are basically made of graham crackers. I mean, you know, I've never seen a cinder block split that easily before in my life.
Right.
But it still was like, wow, fucking cinder blocks,
Right.
Yeah, I mean he just went All-American History X on him, and that, I mean, that's awesome. So, you know, you don't see that very often. So I was pretty pumped about that. Now, obviously, you know, I know that a simple kick to the head is not going to break a cinder block. It's going to break your face before it breaks a cinder block, but, you know, it's the same thing. Like back when NWO came in and Scott Hall ran the cinder block into Stone Cold's knee. Same thing. It crumbled like dust, but it was still cool. It was a freaking cinder block, for God's sake. So,
right.
You know, but you don't see anything cool like that anymore. I mean, tables, yeah, they've been around since the beginning of wrestling history. Chairs, everybody used to use chairs. Chairs are the most generic weapon you can use. Why don't we start seeing at Extreme Rules stuff like
the sledgehammer
Even the sledgehammer, is played out. But like what Mick, Mick Foley used to use, the barbed wire baseball bat, the big bed of just wrapped barbed wire. Why don't we see like, you know, just cool weapons like that, where, you know, but you're not going to see it. You know, you're not going to see it
right.
anymore. You don't see trash cans anymore, even though those trash cans crushed like Coke cans back in the day. But still, they
yeah.
were freaking trash cans.
You know, and
you
you're
know?
Not going to see, you know, you're not going to see, like, you know, Kane hooking Shane McMahon's testicles up to a car battery and shocking
no,
the hell out.
Oh, yeah, of course not.
Right, yeah,
of
yeah,
course
yeah.
not.
Right.
I mean, you got to admit, that was one of those moments, like, what the hell did I just see? You know?
Oh, I know. And you know, knowing, not knowing what that's like, I shouldn't say I know what that's like, because I've never done it or had it done, but just sort of knowing how car batteries work and knowing how jumper cables and alligator clips work, you know, he barely touched him. I mean, yeah, it would still be painful, but he could have done a lot more damage to Shane McMahon.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, if you're really trying to, like, get your point across in that way, you don't just, boop, touch him with it. You hold that shit there. You know what I'm saying? and that, I mean, obviously, I don't think that would have been one. I don't think they were trying to destroy the future of Shane McMahon and his family because he was still young back then. I also don't think they were trying to actually possibly kill somebody on national television. But it was... It was something where it just that to me, yeah, it was cool, but it seemed fake to me because I know how jumper cables work.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
yeah. So they undersold
when,
that. But
when
well,
did
you
kendo
know,
stick become the weapon of the WWE?
Yeah.
Kendo stick.
Yeah.
When Steve Blackman.
Yeah.
Well,
Steve Blackman.
But I mean, like
yeah.
that's
you
all
know,
they use now. Like the chairs don't even get used that much. It's like everyone pulls
well,
a kendo stick out.
In the match going on right now, they have chairs in this. You know.
See, I'm a little behind. I'm streaming, so I'm a little behind you.
Well, here's the deal. What happened is, Seth Rollins brought the chair in. He ran and did a jump off into Kevin Owens off the chair. You know. I mean, the chair hasn't been used as a weapon yet, but he's still using a chair, you know,
yeah.
so, which is interesting in itself, you know.
I just want fucking blood. Like, that is not that hard. That
no,
made,
it's
I,
really not.
I went back and watched, like, from 2002 to 2009, all the Survivor Series, because I know we're going to talk about, like, you know, cool Survivor Series moments. So I used the network, like, crazy this past week, and... That's some of the best matches, man. It's just bleed, and it just sells
the
match
you know
so much
more. You
know
who used to be the king of that? You know who used to be the king of that was Ric Flair. And,
yeah.
you know, his whole, you know, his blonde hair would turn all ketchup-colored, and it
yeah,
was,
yeah, yeah.
you know, it was awesome. Now, Ric Flair, but then they went a little overboard with it because it seemed like to me that every match Ric Flair was in, whether it was an extreme match or not, he would bleed. So it's
yeah.
like, dude, stop. You know, at that point, you're like, dude, stop bleeding. You know, like you're going to kill yourself. You're 70 years old.
Right.
But, you know, to me, I don't know, Survivor Series, again, driving and getting a ticket and the whole thing, like I can't think of anything off the top of my head at the moment.
Well, how about
Survivor
the Stone Cold? What about the Stone Cold versus Bret Hart where it was the I Quit match and Stone Cold was bleeding out of his forehead like crazy and he wound up passing
oh, okay.
out because of the loss of blood and
well,
didn't
even
say
I
quit.
Was that 96 or 97?
That was that. No, that was a year after the screw job, wasn't it?
No,
the
no,
year before.
Bret Hart
I'm sorry, yeah, year before.
Anymore.
I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah.
yeah. Okay, yeah,
that
yeah.
Was
yeah
right. That was actually, what was it, SummerSlam 96, I want to say.
Was that? Oh, yeah, it was SummerSlam, yeah. Yeah, but, like, I just, like, those matches, like, seeing Stone Cold bleed like that was just like, oh, my God. Like, you just, like, you get so involved. Like, this guy is bleeding out right in front of you. And it just seems crazy.
And that
well,
is what, that is the match that cemented Stone Cold Steve Austin. That match
yeah.
right there, because I remember they had named that the match of the decade.
That was a good match.
Know. Yeah, and you know, they even played that out. You know, they even put that the face of his you know his bleeding head on the cover of his video. You know.
Yeah. Speaking of good matches, did any of you guys watch NXT TakeOver?
No, I'm not into
no.
NXT. I can't get into it.
No,
so
that
good.
Was Jason's thing. He was a big NXT fan.
Yeah, it's so good, man. You guys are missing out. It's really good. They had a killer tag team match that was just fucking awesome. So good.
Yeah.
Now, Dave, maybe you can explain to me here, because I'm a little confused, why a guy like Samoa Joe, for instance, who was so big and so instrumental in TNA, was a TNA champion, multiple-time TNA champion, was in all the top storylines in TNA, hasn't come to the main roster. He's been in NXT for almost 2 years, has not come to the main roster. I don't understand why they're holding a guy, a talent, a big name that people know, like Samoa Joe, back.
You know what's crazy?
Well, I think they're waiting for the right time to bring him in, though. You know, I don't think they want to. They want to do something good with him. They don't want to spoil him in a piss poor debut. You know.
See, I'd rather them bring up Shinsuke Nakamura before Samoa Joe. I don't like Samoa Joe at all. I think his character's really boring.
I don't have a problem with him. I think what they'll do is they'll bring them both in at the same time, and I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see them at Royal Rumble.
Yeah, Shinsuke's going to be, at least Shinsuke will be at Royal Rumble, and that's the thing, too, is because they're probably going to have their blow-off match. Shinsuke took the title from Joe. Joe took it back on Saturday, so they're going to have their rubber match probably at the next TakeOver or at the Royal Rumble, you know, the TakeOver that pairs up with that weekend. And then I wouldn't be surprised because they're all going to be in the same town if they're in the Rumble.
Right, maybe, and it just makes sense that happens.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but I don't have a problem with that, though, because that's a killer pop. Like, when AJ Styles showed up at the Rumble, and at the time I didn't, like, I knew of AJ Styles from, like, you know, I knew just from, like, reading wrestling articles and stuff. But he got such a pop when he came out at the Rumble, man. Like, the crowd went crazy. And he's, like, I think the same thing will happen with, like, Shinsuke Nakamura or maybe even Samoa Joe. A lot of people like him. I just don't. But he would get a killer pop at the Rumble if he pulled up. So, I mean, that'd be cool.
I'm with you. I understand. You know, I know there's a lot of people that don't like Samoa Joe, but I don't have a problem with him. You know, but I think what they're doing is he's wasting away in NXT right now. But like I say, they want to get he deserves to have a big entrance, and that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, because, like, where does he fit on the main roster right now? Like, what would he go for?
I think he would go to SmackDown, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good. And he could go, but that's the thing, does he go right for that world championship? Like, where he's kind of like, I don't know, I don't see the progress for him there. Like, I think that's the thing, is he can be the man in NXT, and just being the man doesn't make you ready either. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that spot is ready for him yet, because I don't know what you would do with him once he got up there. Like, would he be going after AJ for the championship or what? You know what I mean? Like, it just seems, I don't know. I think it'd be kind of like a lost cause. Like, because if he didn't win his first match, he'd be kind of buried. Like, they did that with Owens too at first. Like, when he went up against Cena, beat him his first match. That was awesome. And then he lost. You know what I mean? They're just kind of like, well, what the hell was the point of this then? You know what I mean? Like, he's a talented wrestler after the whole Cena thing. Okay, well, Cena buries new guys. Like, we all know that. So now what? What do you do with Owens or whatever? And he kind of was stuck in the mill there for a little bit.
Well, you know, I was surprised. Like, that's why I was surprised that they put this belt on him.
Yeah. I think he's ultra talented. I think he's a really good wrestler. I know you guys aren't as high on him. I really like him a lot. I think he's a really good heel.
I don't have a problem with his wrestling skills. It's mm-hmm. just him per se that I don't like.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. There's some guys that do that for me too. It's like Dean Ambrose. Like, I cannot get behind Dean Ambrose. There's just some people that are over with some guys and just not me.
Sorry, guys, I had to walk into my place and I was gonna do it for my I'm going to do it again for a second. Well, here, hold on a second. See, my roommate's girlfriend's last name is Kane. So every time I see her, it's like, it's Kane! Good God Almighty, it's Kane! The Hellfire and Brimstone, the Big Red Machine, is back!
Oh, man, Kane, that's funny. Yeah. I have a good friend of mine.
Well, I saw that. I was like,
I was like, oh, my God, her last name is Kane. I was like, every time I see her now, like, she'll walk in the door, I'll be like, it's Kane. Good God almighty. Business is about to pick up. You know? So,
it was funny.
Yeah.
My buddy was telling me that he was walking with his girlfriend into their apartment complex, and he was waiting for her to unlock the door, and he had the hood over, like, he had a hood on his jacket over his head. It was kind of covering his eyes. It's one of those big hoods. And she was like, John, you know, what the hell are you doing? He was like, and he rips the hood back. He goes, it was me, Austin. It was me the whole time.
Oh, God. Which is awesome. The higher power? Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That is awesome. The best thing, though, that is actually pretty dope because, you know, that's old school. So that's
right,
awesome.
Right.
My buddy actually asked me for wedding plans. He was going to get married to his longtime girlfriend. And he goes, dude, what should we do for, like, the wedding? Like, what would be a cool thing to do? I go, well, what color is her dress? And he goes, white?
Mm-hmm.
I go, oh. I go, well, okay, we can work with white. And he goes, what do you mean work with? I go, well, you ever think about maybe strapping her to, like, a symbol and sacrificing her in front of thousands of people? And then he's like, the hell are you talking about? Because he didn't watch wrestling, you know? So I was like, listen, so I showed him the black wedding match, and I was like, she has, because she was like an actor, she was like a small stage Broadway kind of actor. So I was like, dude, she can just play it off, like she doesn't want to do it. She can just yell no the whole time. We'll strap her to the symbol, start speaking in tongues, you know, we'll come in the whole time, and then we'll just have some drunk bald guy run in and save her at the last minute.
That's perfect.
He's like, bro, you're not coming to my wedding. I'm like,
all right. Hey, Russ, I would love to see that.
That would be good.
Yeah. Hey, trust me, I'm sure there's some cult somewhere in this country that has had a similar type of scenario happen at some point.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure it has. But anyways, guys, about 23 minutes left to go in the show here. I'm about to kick up Raw actually probably just ended. So by the time I turn my TV on. But so for Survivor Series, you know, this show actually has been one of our better shows. And the reason for that is because, I mean, despite the audio quality of me driving and the whole shebang, been one of our better shows because we have something to be excited about. Something to reminisce, something to excite about. Usually this show, Dave, I know you're relatively new to the program, but usually this show consists of us getting on and just bitching about how bad wrestling has become. I mean,
right.
This show has just been a giant bitch fest for the last almost year, okay? And now it's wow, okay. That was a bit of a blue ball situation, but it was also kind of a kick in the ass a little bit too. And now I think, you know, with Raw being as good as you guys said that it is tonight, there's hope now. There's hope that maybe, just maybe, this thing will turn around. And I understand we're not going to see weapons. I understand we're not going to see, you know, any of the cool shit we used to see. But maybe the booking will be there. Maybe the storylines will be there. Maybe, you know, another storyline. And again, Dave, I don't know if this is when you had stopped watching or not, but I know I kind of know about this. When Kane, you know, obviously Kane was a crazy monster, but Kane felt like he was never loved. He never had a normal life, this and that. So Kane took a liking to Lita, and he kept attacking Matt Hardy because Matt Hardy was with Lita, you know, and all this whole thing. So in order to stop the attacks on Matt Hardy, Kane gave Lita an ultimatum. And that ultimatum was that she had to sleep with him, and that Lita was going to bear him a son because Kane wanted to continue his legacy after wrestling. So the whole thing comes up, and Lita's pregnant, and the whole thing, and they're not sure if it's Kane's or if it's Matt Hardy's, and it was just a big Lifetime Movie Network episode.
Right.
Every week, every week there was a new twist, and you're like, oh shit, you know, is Lita, you know, Lita pregnant? Like, is it Kane's? Is it whatever? And I'm just like, it's stuff that people can relate to. I mean, well, not everybody, but some people maybe can relate to. And I'm like, oh wow, you know, like you never see that nowadays. Like that would be so taboo nowadays.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just, it's interesting. Like one of these days I want to see like what would be cool is if Lana ends up getting kayfabe pregnant and they're not sure if it's Rusev's, or Enzo, you know, something like that.
Right. Yep.
You know,
yep.
That might be cool. Then that would set up a storyline or something.
Or Dolph Ziggler's.
Or Dolph, yeah.
Or
she had
Ziggler.
With Dolph too. Yeah, that's right.
She was running with Dolph for a while, although she really just ran with Dolph to get back at Rusev, but still.
Yeah.
I mean, huh. That is That is
actually fighting in the crowd right now. When's the last time you saw that?
Oh shit! I'm gonna turn it on. I thought it was over. That's why I didn't turn it on.
This is crazy.
I will say one thing, Chris. You getting pulled over live on the air? That raises about 20 ratings points.
Yeah, that was the best.
Oh wait, who's this in the mask? Who the hell is this mask guy? I know you're on a delay, but.
Yeah, hold on. Hold on for a minute.
Well, you know who it is. Look at the hair.
Oh, all right. Well, let's not spoil it. Let's not spoil it for Dave. He'll see it in a minute.
It's Chris Jericho.
Oh, well, thanks for spoiling it.
Right.
When I told you not
so
to.
So Jericho.
Oh,
anyway. Got him. But, now, do you guys like the fact that there's a lot more open space around the ring now because the announce tables aren't down there anymore?
Yeah.
Well, you know why they did that.
Why?
They got sick of having to rebuild the tables every week.
Oh, yeah, because people get thrown through them. Yeah, that's true. Oh, wait a minute.
It also gives additional seating, too.
The end of this match. I was really thinking maybe they would have Rollins. Now, here's my thing. Kevin Owens, yeah, he doesn't really necessarily fit as a champion. He doesn't necessarily, look like a champion. I like the way this ended. I like the cheap thing. Like, if you're going to be a heel that's not really interesting at all and not, you know, you don't have an edge to you and you don't have a real reason to be super excited about you as a heel champion, I like the cheap cheating moments. I mean, I like the Jericho interference. It's just
it makes him really hateable.
Yeah,
well, yeah,
it reminds me of the shit that used to happen.
Yep.
Well, here's the deal, though. I mean,
what?
Seth Rollins jumping off the Raw sign, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, from the crowd. I mean, this is stuff that we didn't think we'd ever see. Now we all know. Well, you guys know how I feel about Kevin Owens, and I know that Chris, Kevin Owens doesn't tighten your pants like Edge does, if you want to talk about, one of the best heel champions really was Seth Rollins. You know, none of his matches ended cleanly the entire time he was the champion. You know, that's what made him one of these guys like, okay, I want you to get your ass kicked, and I want it to be in a brutal way, but I don't want this guy as champion, Kevin Owens. You know, if they're gonna do this crap, put the belt back on Rollins,
And they might. They very well might, especially if they bring the Shield back. But,
yeah.
I think that right now they are rolling with Owens. I mean, they've got something good going, and they want to have this dynamic last just a little bit longer. But, for me, Kevin Owens is growing on me as a heel champion. Not because I like Kevin Owens, because I like his moveset or any of that. Just that hateable champion. For some reason, I love to hate the champion. When Triple H was the World Heavyweight Champion, when Triple H was the WWE Champion, whenever Triple H would win in a pay-per-view, I mean, yeah, JR was a big part of that. Because JR could make you love or hate anybody, but I was always like, oh damn, Triple H won. Well, that was a hell of a match. That was a good match. So I feel like the fact that if they gave it to a face right now, they would be killing all their momentum. I like the momentum that they have going on. I like the dynamic that they have going on, and I like the fact that they're listening to fans, because I don't think we were the only ones that were bitching and complaining about the direction that Raw was going in. And I think finally they decided to listen. And finally they decided to say, you know what? Our ratings are dropping astronomically. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be able to, get the ratings back with just the preteens that we're catering to. We need to start bringing some of those diehard Attitude Era wrestling fans back, all while still staying within what we need to stay in for the PG era. So, that's why you're seeing a lot of this tonight, because, I mean, Vince McMahon's not a not a dumb guy. I mean, look what he created. Triple H is not a dumb guy. I mean, Triple H was there during the Golden Age. So
Right. They
both know Triple H basically was the Golden Age for the most part. So, I mean, they know what – when it comes solely to ratings, what got them the best ratings. And you know what? Let's teeter on the edge of that a little bit. Let's start to do a little bit more of that. And if the ratings start to improve, we'll give them a little more. Ratings start to improve, we'll give them a little more. Then we'll ride with it. And then if they start to drop again, boom, we'll go back into it. So right now I think that they're in an act of desperation trying to find something that is going to get them back where they need to be for, as Michael Cole so elegantly said, the longest-running episodic television show in history, Monday Night Raw. So, you know, I think it'll be all right. I think tonight was sort of a refresher course, and I recorded Raw. I'm going to go back and watch it as soon as we get off the air here and sort of see what you guys are talking about. So, you know, I have hope. I'm happy with how Survivor Series went. I thought it was an entertaining pay-per-view. It wasn't a pay-per-view that I left to go get beer in the middle of like I usually do. So, you know, it was good. I was excited. I was actually excited going in. Like, usually with pay-per-views, I'm like, all right, well, we'll see if it's okay. And then sometimes I'm surprised and sometimes I'm disappointed. This was actually a match based on the hype and going into the match. I was actually excited to see. So I bought all my beer beforehand. But I was excited. I liked the direction. I hope they stay with it. And, you know, I'm for once in my life, well, not once in my life, but once since the show started, not bitching and complaining about WWE again. So I'm good with it. They got an A for effort in my book. And if I was a middle school teacher and grading their test, I'd give them probably a 90 for the pay-per-view. And based on what I've seen, probably an 85 for Raw. So they're passing in my book. Passing grades.
I just wanted to throw a response to you, because I think you went this one. You were walking into the house. You asked me about Samoa Joe being NXT for 2 years. The only reason I could think, and me and Icon were talking about it, is that if he comes up, you bring him up. What does he do? What do you do with him?
Well, if you need talent, you see, it's a big name. Even if you're not a TNA fan, I mean, if you talk to a wrestling fan nowadays, obviously they're not going to probably tell you Stone Cold, Rock, you know, whatever. They're probably not going to be able to get detailed like Val Venus and Kai and Tai and stuff like we are. But right. I think anybody that has watched any sort of wrestling or has been in the wrestling community for the last 5 to 10 years will be able to tell you, oh, Samoa Joe. Yeah, I might not know him, but I've heard the name.
Right.
And, you know, that might get some people going. I mean, he could be the new Rikishi, you know, and,
yeah.
Yeah,
but he's like,
his
shtick is totally like New York brawler type. You know what I mean? Like
he's like a New York brawler type, but he dresses Samoan, which is really strange also.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, but I mean, Rikishi, tell me this, would you take a stink face in Rikishi for like probably 10 grand?
You know, I went to a house event in Providence about 6 months ago. And they did this like 40-man Royal Rumble thing, and it was just like a bunch of indie, you know, like a bunch of nobodies. But Rikishi was there, and he gave like the entire Royal Rumble the stink face. Like he had like 20 people in the ring, and buried them all in a corner, and then just gave them all the stink face. And it was just like seeing it live. I was like, I wouldn't take a stink face with your face, Chris. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way.
I would take a Bronco Buster from Trish Stratus though.
That's true. That is true. I would do that. By the way, I went and checked out Sunny's adult movie. What a disgusting pig she turned into. That is awful.
Oh, I know. I'll tell you what. The beginning of that movie really put me out, you know.
She's turned into this rhinoceros of a woman. That was bad.
It was like a less attractive version of Kathy Bates.
I've just never had such a shamegasm in my entire life. It's bad. Bad news. No, I'm just kidding.
Real quick here, I know this is coming off topic.
Yeah, no problem.
We'll talk about giving credit where credit is due, but
I would be remiss if I didn't say this. We've got to give a shout-out to the North Dakota State University Bison for gaining the number one.
Gaining the what?
Well, that was their chance. That was North Dakota State's one opportunity.
I guess he got cut off.
Yeah, he got cut off there.
I do you have Sprint by any chance? Because they don't really have coverage up in North Dakota.
Oh, man. did the icon just get pulled over, too?
Maybe. No, he doesn't leave the house. Maybe they had a search warrant. I don't know.
He's getting raided right now.
Yeah, at least you guys are what?
Oh, there you are.
Is that you?
You're back. Sorry, you got cut off there. We thought maybe you were getting raided or something. They were going to steal all your wrestling memorabilia.
It's like Chris tipped him off.
Where did it leave off? You said congratulations to the North Dakota Bison 4, and then it went blank. So what did they do?
Okay. They got the number one seed in the FCS playoffs. They will take on the winner of Cal Poly or the University of San Diego. Of course, everybody knows that the Bison will destroy either one of those teams because they got to come to the Fargo Dome. And we have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. The Fargo Dome is a tough place to play when you come play us in the playoffs. So we should be marching all the way to Frisco for number six, the six-pack. Repeat the three-peat.
Wow.
I'm with it. And, you know, following sports that I do for my main shows, that is a big story. It's funny, I used to live in New Hampshire, and Dustin currently does live in New Hampshire. University of New Hampshire, UNH, is very, very good. And another team that I think might make the playoffs is UAlbany, which is my hometown team, and they're good too. So, you know, congratulations to them. And do they have anybody that is NFL worthy, like Carson Wentz this year or no?
Possibly. Well, I would have said Nick DeLuca, but he's going to come back one more year because he got injured. So he'd be the next guy up.
Oh. Very good.
Huh. Yeah, I'm impressed, actually. All I know is, and I know that this might be a little bit salty for some people, but it's also
keep up the how about them Cowboys? Yeah, I'm with you.
I wasn't going to do that, actually. I actually wasn't. I was going to hit something different. And, I mean, now I'm going to do it because you brought it up. But I wasn't going to.
You did one hell of a job, and the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
No, so anyway, I was going to write a letter.
23 minutes. I've waited 1 hour and 23 minutes now waiting for that drop. The whole
well,
show.
You brought it up. You brought it up. I wasn't going to do it.
What I was going to say
was that these Cowboys, I think the Cowboys should run out of the locker room, honestly, because, you know, this team went 4-12 last year, and, you know, Dak Prescott and Ezekiel, you didn't know what you were getting into this season. So I think You Think You Know Me would actually be appropriate for them to run out onto the field.
You Think You Know Me.
I mean, if they ran out to that, how badass would that be?
That would – I don't know if we'd ever be able to hear from you again. Like, I think you would just melt
my
into a
My favorite team running
own.
Out to Edge's music, dude, I would die a happy man. I would just be like, you know, my life is complete. I'd just drink bleach right there and be done with it.
Swallow a cyanide capsule. Just done.
That's it. My life is complete.
Speaking of running out to theme songs, that's why Dustin would like the Fargo Moorhead Redhawks because they come out to CM Punk.
Ooh, well, Cult of Personality is a pretty popular one, but you know what? Do you know what is also pretty cool is that I think the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders their I guess halftime dance song is "Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy." That's kind of funny. It's kind of raunchy,
cool.
But it's also kind of funny.
So
every time I hear that song, I'm like, hey, you know, attractive women gyrating to this song, it's nice.
Right. There you go.
So, but anyways, so real quick, I mean, this was a good show. Probably one of our best so far. I think the chemistry is gelling. It's working out pretty well. And I had to turn the radio down. I didn't want to get my ass beat to a soundtrack, so I didn't know what you guys were talking about when the cop was there. But you know, I figured what I was gonna do was if, because I just took care of a ticket that I completely forgot about, and I thought I had a suspension on my license. I didn't, but I thought I did. And I was like, you know what? If this happens and I end up getting, I have to step out of the car and the whole thing and whatever, I was going to do it on the air. I was just going to turn you guys on and be like, hey, listen to me get arrested and my car get towed on the air. But it didn't happen. So I just, flashed the cop. He let me go. I flashed him and he let me go. So it was okay.
Nice.
But,
nice. Full
frontal.
You know,
because this was one of those cops where you could flash them. Sometimes I cry if you get out of tickets, you know.
Right.
But
yeah.
But this one was a flash scenario. So, but anyway. So yeah,
I'm surprised you didn't play Edge's theme song to get out of that.
Can I see your license registration?
He didn't strike me as having good taste in wrestlers, so I don't know if he'd be an Edge fan, honestly. But
did you guys see?
Wait a minute! What the hell? It's Edge! I thought he left the building.
Oh my God! Edge is here, Shawn Michaels.
So, anyway.
Yeah. Do you play that one specifically because it's Shawn Michaels just to get under me and Dustin's skin?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Duly noted.
Yep.
Did you see the Click documentary on the
network?
I did.
That was awesome.
That was really good.
The click is the shit. I love the
that
click. And
so good.
I loved the Wolfpack in NWO. But, you know,
right.
I loved the click. And, you know, I love all that old shit. Anything old. Of course, I didn't really watch wrestling because, Dave, I don't know if you knew this, but I kind of knew this. My aunt knows Hulk Hogan personally. So I've met Hulk Hogan. Yeah, so I've met Hulk Hogan several times. So she got me into watching wrestling, watching the Hulkster. He was in WCW at the time. So I started watching WCW, but all my friends in school would watch WWE, or WWF. So they were talking about, Stone Cold and The Rock, you got to watch this. And I'm like, no, I mean, Bam Bam Bigelow and Sting and, you know, Booker T. And they're like, who? You know? So
right.
Like, yeah, I was like, Booker T and Hulk Hogan, you know? So then I started, back in the good old days of VCRs, watching one and taping the other and then watching the other one afterwards. And then I started getting into WWF a little bit more, but I started with WCW, and you know, I really feel like the Click, you know, X-Pac. I was an X-Pac fan before X-Pac was even around, but the
right.
original Shawn, the original Scott Hall, the original, you know, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and who was the other guy?
Diesel.
That was Nash.
Diesel.
Yeah,
Kevin
Nash.
X-Pac.
I loved 1-2-3 Kid. Yeah, well, 1-2-3 Kid. It was X-Pac, right?
Right, yeah. It was Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and the 1-2-3 Kid.
Yeah, and X-Pac. You can just call him X-Pac.
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 Speaking of Hulk Hogan real quick, and we could probably talk about this more next week, but last night I got to hang out with Jimmy the Mouth himself.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, how'd that go? How was that? How'd you do that?
Well, you know, the thing is, when you're an icon like me,
right.
You know, celebrities come out and find you.
I got you. And you're not going to kiss and tell. That you got your own secrets. I like it.
Well, no, it's just that Jimmy Hart had heard about the Legend of the Icon, and, you know, the bar actually knows how to get a hold of me. They called me. They said, Jimmy Hart wants to, you know, he wants to come down. He wants to meet you. So that's what happened.
Wow.
You know that,
guys. You know Hulk Hogan. You know Jimmy Hart, and it's us three idiots doing the podcast. Like, why don't we get these guys on?
I could probably do it. Honestly, we interviewed back in the day. We interviewed Buff Bagwell, and Buff Bagwell is going to be back after his court is up, his lawsuit, and also we're trying to get Scott Steiner and Booker T as well. So we'll see how that
awesome.
Goes. Real quick, guys, we got to go, but we got 40 seconds left. But you know what would have made the click better, honestly? And this is a little food for thought going into next week? I know the Click was one of the best groups ever, but if little baby Edge, because I know he was young at the time, but if Edge was in the Click, it'd be a so much better group. We'll see how it goes.
Dead Man Walk.